May the eternal name of Jesus be with us all this day. This day that the Lord's made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. The name of Jesus, it makes a way in the wilderness for us, carves out a pathway in the middle of the sea of humanity that covers the globe, which we can then cross over to the other side to reach the heavenly shore. It's as much a miracle as it was when the Red Sea, or the Sea of Reeds, if you prefer, was parted for the Exodus children in the day of their escape from the land of oppression that Pharaoh's Egypt most certainly was. So God bless you all, ye saints from near and far, wherever you might be. This is Brother Ryan from the House of Worship at Pine Creek Independent Church in Northern Illinois in the USA. And I'm glad to have the privilege of sharing some scriptural thoughts with you for this week of devotional time. And my thanks always to Brother Andrew Peary and all the brethren who help with these recordings and with the website. We thank the Lord as we just call upon his name. Let there be spiritual light among us to dispel the darkness of this world, even as it was when God spoke the words of creation and there was light. That began it all. To put our faith and trust in the Creator, he was the author and finisher of our faith, is the aim. And to do so, I'd like to speak on this title for the week, As For Me, which would be part one. And you may well recognize that statement, As For Me. The statement comes from Joshua 24, and verse 15, and that will indeed be our starting point in Scripture. But there are some other verses of similar form that make good points of concentration along the way. So we'll examine some of those together here this week in our study. And of course, we'll compare with other like-minded Scripture as we go. It's all to glorify the divine name, not our own. For all holiness belongs to the Spirit of truth that God is. Before there was a natural creation, wisdom existed. Wisdom that was there before the high mountains or the low valleys, before the fountains of water were formed, and then wisdom gave expression by speaking, and then there was. That wisdom was the word of Proverbs chapter 8, and it brought all things that are seen into existence, born out of pure thought and holiness of vision, that we refer to as the person of God. Because he lives, we live, and our souls reside within the all-encompassing presence of the Almighty God. And where could one go to get away from that? As King David wrote in Psalms 139, verse 8, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I made my bed in hell, literally the place of the grave, behold, thou art there. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Now, I think I understand how he felt upon writing those words, but the truth is that God has brought that knowledge down to us in Christ, the Word, the Messiah messenger of the covenant himself, and that gives us faith and brings out the faith that's implanted within us. As faith is an eternal word, it always was, it ever will be. We just have to find it within ourselves, where God's placed it. And there is a measure of it in every person, but it needs to be acknowledged and increased to have full effect. You can go a long way toward life on just the strength of faith that's implanted alone, even to the salvation of the soul by simple confession. But to do God's perfect will, that demands more in the seeking and finding of your place in Christ. And that process, it's set before us in the reading of God's word. It's set before us in the prayers of the saints, in the praises that God inhabits, in the preaching, and in the testifying of his will and his way. And though the way is straight and narrow, there's a path to find the Almighty by the act of faith. And faith works by love, as love is the principal component of the two great commandments of love of God and love of one another. And like faith, it's an eternal word, love is. It's an eternal word being present with the Lord from before the Genesis 1:1 beginning. There are other choices that can be made, such as were chosen in the partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in Eden, but none of those other pathways are forever. Only in Christ do we find the way to get back to the paradise of God. And as for me, and I'm thankful for all you who agree with me, I choose the way of faith that works by love. And if you're listening to this right now, that's certainly evidence you've made a decision for the Lord. But the battle of belief, it's a long one, and many tests and trials lay ahead of us all. All I can do is just try to encourage you. Keep on course. Faith will have its perfect work to be done, and that word is forever settled in heaven. As we come to Joshua's proclamation in Joshua chapter 24, we all have the right to determine our own fate. God grants that right to every person. He does not wish to rule or serve over a people who have no individuality. Freedom of will, it's one of the greatest of God's gifts. It's a very necessary one to form up children of his own, making an image. But it is certainly a gift nonetheless. So in our provided way for the week, we'll see in the choices of Joshua the qualities of determination and loyalty that got the Hebrew tribes across the Jordan and into the promised land, a land that God cares for. His eyes are always upon it, as found in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 12, a condition that still exists today. City of Jerusalem still in the eye of the storm here so many years later. One day God will put his foot down there and bring peace to the nations that are so troubled. But here in Joshua 24, as the people come to their inheritance, we read, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It always comes to a crossroads in life of the choices that God set before us, and there comes a moment where one has to decide their own course and come to a realization of who you are in Christ. As ambivalence or apathy, it doesn't protect anyone from the responsibility to accept either blessings or curses that are set before us. Not choosing is Laodicean out of Revelation chapter 3, a church that needed to find its original inspiration that had been lost. It needed to turn itself around and make a choice such as Joshua did in an age that had so much religion in it, but so little faith. So keeping your first love alive toward God and doing his will, it is a choice, of which there are, again, many in this world. You'll have many rivers to cross in your own life, paths to choose, crossroads to ponder, many judgments to make of what is right or wrong, what's good or bad, what is sacred or profane. But the choice of all choices is the one made from the godly courage of this statement, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's an eternal decision. And his ways are not grievous, the service toward the Lord. God hasn't required so very much of any of us. Just have a sense of justice, love mercy, have a desire to walk humbly with the Lord. After all, the meek and the humble, they will inherit the earth. But it does take some willingness to account the kingdom of the Lord's prayer above all others. And the meek or the humble who inherit the earth, they do not lack courage. They're not meek in the sense of timid. They are people in whom perfect love has cast out all fear. And the Lord of hosts has given us every ability to succeed. "All my springs are in thee. All the fountains of living water," drawn from Psalms 87 and verse 7, "are in thee." You just have to be determined to receive of the gift, such as was offered to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, the gift of the living water. Thus it is that we find the qualities that lead to life in Joshua's instruction, for he says, fear the Lord, in terms of awe-filled, reverent respect, which is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Then it's serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. As Christianity throughout the centuries of all types and all branches, denominational and otherwise, even in small independent assemblies such as ourselves, it has and have been plagued by abuses and scandals throughout history. But truth remains, despite the obstructions caused by those who impersonate sincerity, and that truth has to be held on to. Who would God hold more accountable before his judgment seat than those who misuse and misrepresent the gospel for their own ends, which principally have to do with power and influence over others, with a desire to dominate people's lives? So choices are always set before us. As the Bible is perfectly proportioned to do one of two things in a person, to bring out the best in their nature or reveal the worst. My standard example to illustrate this thought are the two men crucified next to Jesus. Two men in the same exact position on the same day with the same punishment of death, executed probably for the same exact crime, having the same agonies, and one of them turned toward faith in Jesus and the other turned away. This teaches us something very valuable. The same exact circumstances that cause one to curse are the same exact circumstances that will cause another to bless and to be blessed. It's all in how we choose out of the depths of whatever is contained within us. And the comparison of the gospel accounts suggests that both men reviled Christ at the start of the day as the nails were driven into their hands and feet. But one of them had a change of heart as the hours went by and found his real heart that was hidden deeply within at the first. And he found life at the last moment. It took the pain of the crucifixion to bring out what was best in him. So when we ask, why is there suffering in the world, consider that, as Job of old had to do when tragedy struck him out of nowhere, as it seemed to him. Truly, there is a time to every purpose under heaven. We have to show patience, for paradise is promised to the faithful and full assurance of salvation through Christ. We get our inheritance of the glory that follows, but not until we fulfill our reasonable service here first. Well, why couldn't God have created the perfect place? Well, he did. It's called heaven, and we just have to fulfill our obedience here, and then we inherit all things. And as we go along in the days of this world, we know that the troubles and the sufferings thereof are not worthy to be compared to what God will reveal in his forever land, the Beulah land of his making, of Isaiah 62 and verse 4, the place of the perfect union in the delightful land. But now is the day when we decide who we are. Now is the day when we must decide, and it's all set before us. And again, there are many other ways that you can go. As it was for the ancient people, so it is today. You can choose many courses. But there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one absolute truth, one choice that brings full assurance of salvation. All others have to come before the great white throne to be judged, tried by the fire of 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 13. So, as I read out of the King James Version of the English Bible, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I pray that all are blessed by the same verses as you read along. And if you read in your own native language out of a different translation, I pray that you're blessed by the reading thereof, because God's word has good effect for all. And the scriptures, they do speak for themselves. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verses 4 and 5, And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, as the scriptures talk of their own righteousness and give witness to us, like Joshua of old, Paul, after his conversion, was determined not to know anything save for Jesus and him crucified and resurrected. That's not to be in ignorance of the world around him, but his priority is always in the preaching of Christ. And it takes determination to be what we are. It takes strength and heart to follow Christ. It takes sight and foresight from above. And if any fall short along the way or transgress, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive as we confess our faults to one another, and as we thank the Lord that we're covered by the blood. But we're only covered if we choose to be so covered, and our choices are set before us. Any wisdom that I have of my own, it's insufficient, unless it's founded on the forever principles that were in existence long before I was ever born. And it's only through God's mercy that any of us can find the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus, and choose this day of whom we will serve. Otherwise, we'd all be like Sodom and Gomorrah. We'd all be lost along the way. But thank the Lord, we're not appointed to wrath or destruction when our faith stands by the power of the Almighty God. So as for me and my house, and I'm thankful for you who have made the same decision, for we will serve the Lord together. So amen, and glory and praise be to the Lord of hosts. Shalom. And we thank the Lord for our shared worship together. And Lord willing, we'll meet again in the devotional time for tomorrow. God bless you, everyone.